The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Two Chairs No Waiting, episode number 488. Al Checco. That's right. Brought to you by WeaversDepartmentStore.com. Head over to WeaversDepartmentStore.com and check it out. They have the 2019 Andy Griffith Show wall calendar. It's brand new. It's in stock. Get yours now. There's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. There's at least 5 or 6 cases of them. Please order them at Weavers. Hey, if you didn't get 2018, you can get a combo deal. Get them both. Head over to WeaversDepartmentStore.com and check it out. Two Chairs No Waiting is brought to you by the folks just like you. So thank you all for your support. Thanks to everybody that supports me through Patreon or however you support me. I really appreciate it. Tonight's episode is really brought to you by my wife, Jan, because she let us go to the Mayberry meetup this past weekend. I know you thought I'd talk about it tonight because this is right after it. But to tell you the truth, I didn't get home early enough last night to get everything together. So we are going to be hearing from Randy Turner right off the bat. And then we're going to do more stuff about the same topic, because I think that's fine because it ties together. So let's head over first and hear from Randy Turner with This Week in Mayberry History.
Welcome to This Week in Mayberry History, a report by special correspondent Randy Turner of the Gomer and Cooper Pyle Comic Book Literary Guild of the Mayberry Historical Society.
Al Checco was a close friend of Don Knotts, and during his career appeared in several projects with Don, including, of course, The Andy Griffith Show. Al was born on July the 21st, 1921, in Pittsburgh. While a very different city, Don grew up only 75 miles away in the much smaller town of Morgantown, West Virginia. Al and Don also shared a birthday, though Al was 3 years older than Don. It should be noted that various sources list Al's year of birth anywhere from 1921 to 1924, but his obituaries, which appeared in national publications, consistently state it was 1921. The two met serving in the Army during World War II. In 1943, the Army sought out soldiers who had worked in the entertainment field, who had at least a modicum of entertainment experience. Al had appeared in plays, and Don had a ventriloquism act. Both ended up in what was called Detachment X. What might sound like an easy deployment was actually quite dangerous. The group was sent to the front lines to keep up the troops' spirit, even while in a war zone. Detachment X was the first entertainment unit to be sent to the Pacific Theater, with a show they called Stars and Gripes. Al described later how he, Don, and the rest of the cast often had to take cover in foxholes during Japanese bombing, then come back out to finish the show. Having gotten rid of his ventriloquist dummy, Don worked with Al in the skits, including forming the beginnings of what was his nervous character, aspects of which would later be seen in Barney Fife. After the war, Al attended the Carnegie Mellon School of Drama. After graduation, he began working in live theater. Between 1947 and 1953, Al worked behind the scenes on Broadway shows as a production assistant and assistant stage manager, and then also appeared on stage. He also acted off-Broadway and in tours. He made his television debut during this time in 1952, but by 1960, he had begun concentrating on the medium of television instead of live theater. He played the recurring character Joe King in several episodes of Mr. Ed before appearing in Mayberry the first time as Howie, a would-be bank robber who Barney was writing a ticket to for a parking violation until Andy alerted him to the larger crime. Al had an uncredited part as one of the sailors in the Don Knotts vehicle, The Incredible Mr. Limpet, in 1964. The following year, Al returned to Mayberry as the thief who had thrown a suitcase full of money off the train near Mayberry, and who convinced Marnie he was actually FBI agent Hennessy. That same year, Al appeared as Sergeant Benson in an episode of Gomer Pyle USMC. In 1966, Al again appeared in the Don Knotts project, this time The Ghost and Mr. Chicken. The same year, he played another well-remembered role as one of the henchmen assistants to the Penguin in the series Batman. In 1967, he again appeared with Don in The Reluctant Astronaut. Al did sometimes appear in dramas, such as Bullet, starring Steve McQueen, and as a murder victim of the Manson family in Helter Skelter, but he is best remembered for his comedic work. He appeared in the Disney film Pete's Dragon, and was in Andy Griffith's film Angel in My Pocket. Al left television and movies in the early 1990s to return to Broadway in the wonderful Crazy for You, the first of what are now called jukebox musicals. The show's music was especially good, as all the songs were pulled from the songbook of George and Ira Gershwin. Al did return to TV for a couple of series guest appearances in 2000 and 2004, but then retired for good. Al passed away in 2015, just 2 days before he would have turned 94. Well, that's it for this week. Thanks for listening, and remember to take Andy's advice and go out there and act like somebody.
Hey, Randy, thank you so much for that report. Guys, if you don't want to miss anything that Randy Turner is doing around the internet, head over and send an email to turnersgrade@gmail.com, turnersgrade@gmail.com, and you'll be able to never miss anything Randy does. So, Randy, thank you so much for that report. Now, I neglected to tell you, in case you're brand new to the show, my name is Alan Newsome. I host Here Two Chairs, and Randy is my only roving reporter. But he has been doing reports for us for a year and a half now, and it is amazing. He was at the meetup this past week with us, and we all had a great time hearing from Randy there as well. So thank you, Randy. Now, he also obviously inspired tonight's podcast episode, because I saw, hey, this is a good topic, and most of you don't know a whole lot about him. You heard a whole lot from Randy there, found out that, he was born the same date as Don in different years. Both July the 21st, we both of them. But do you know other things? Did you know that he worked with Don? Now, I got to go to Don Knotts' memorial service out in California after he had passed away. They invited several of us to come out there, and we were able to attend. And he was shared some of his memories there, but he couldn't share them all because he just didn't have time. So there is an article on the imayberry.com website talking about Al Checco shares Don Knotts' memories about Don Knotts. And I'm going to kind of go through that in this episode, because there's some really neat stuff that you may never have heard. So let me get a little background music for us. Ah, there we go. A little calm background music. I think you're going to enjoy this, because you get a little bit of an insight into Don Knotts from one of his friends, Al Checco. So let's go here. In 1943, the Army wrangled up a group of soldiers, just so this is background, who had given some indication of either being entertainers or at least having performing talent and being able to perform and do things. And they gathered them into a unit that was called Detachment X. It's kind of like the X-Men. Don Knotts was one of the X-Men. There we go. And Al Checco. So Al Checco, he picks up the story from here. Here's what he has to say. He says, "They brought us in from all over the country. Our unit was a conglomeration of people who had at least some background as far as entertaining went. They wanted to get representatives from various branches of the Army, such as the engineers, the Air Corps, infantry, quartermasters, and so on. We had singers and musicians and dancers and actors and jugglers and magicians and one ventriloquist, Don Knotts. we'd all had basic training and what you have to do with, you know, our previous units, all those kind of things you had to do. We knew how to fire a rifle and all that kind of stuff. We were all sent to Fort Meade in Maryland to be part of this new ominous sounding outfit called Detachment X. But the Army hadn't really thought it out, not too much. That's funny, they hadn't thought it out very much. So they didn't know the organization. You know, they didn't know how it was going to operate. They had no commanding officer or anything for this group, Detachment X. In fact, officers would hide behind coconut trees to avoid going with us. We ended up being the only Democratic unit in the entire Army. We actually held elections. We voted for our own representatives to lead us. We called him First Sergeant, but he wasn't really a sergeant. We just called him that. A lot of us ended up being the representative for a time, and then we'd get disgusted with it and have another election to vote somebody else into the job. It was really wacky. None of us conformed to any sort of Army regulations. We wore all kinds of uniforms, from fatigues to Air Corps uniforms to sweaters or whatever each person happened to have. There was no rhyme or reason to what we wore. We really were a motley crew. None of us ever got promoted or anything. When they discharged us, they did bump most of us up a notch or two. I was discharged as a sergeant, and I think Don was too. But if you look at the Army records, you would think that our outfit was the greatest fighting force since the Civil War, because we deployed to so many forward battle areas. We were just an experimental group of entertainers, and they called us Detachment X only because they had no better name for us. The whole ideal of our unit was to keep the morale of soldiers up on the front lines, so the areas where they sent us to perform were therefore really places with a lot of combat very nearby. After we rehearsed a little, they sent us overseas to the Pacific. We were the first entertainment unit to be sent to the Pacific Theater of Battle. The first place we went landed. The first place that we landed was Malene Bay in New Guinea. Hope I said that right. We were sent to islands all over the Pacific. We performed on whatever we could put together to be a stage. Sometimes it might be just the back of a couple of trucks that we were on. Other times we had a tent or a structure that was a pretty decent place. We called our show Stars and Gripes. Particularly when we were first there, the Japanese kept bombing us about the same time every night during the first act. Just before I was supposed to sing a song. Maybe I should have taken a hint. Don was supposed to go on right after me with his cute little ventriloquist act that he was doing. And when the Japanese bombed us, the sirens would go off and we'd have to stop the show, jump in our foxholes or whatever, and then come out after that and finish the show. This went on for a number of weeks. I kept suggesting to Don that we resume the show with him going first to get it off to a good start, because my song was okay, but it was nothing special. Don would say, no, Al. What you do is good. You warm up the audience. Of course, he was just conning me. Don never liked doing his ventriloquist act. It went over great, but Don just got tired of doing it, and it felt limited. He really wanted to do comedy sketches. We were unloading at one of the islands one day and working like a chain gang, helping each other with footlockers and musical instruments and all that. Danny, Don's dummy, was always in a suitcase that traveled with the other gear, but we discovered that the case was missing. Out of the clear blue sky, the suitcase was gone. When we asked Don about it, he just shuffled back and forth and sheepishly said, "Well, I don't know. I don't know." He didn't know what happened to it. While we were still in the service, Don never really did admit to throwing Danny overboard. But through the years, he let me know, and in fact, that was what he did. In Don's autobiography, Barney Fife and other characters I've known, he still wouldn't officially admit throwing Danny overboard, but would say only that he left Danny on a beach. But Don admitted to others over the years that he actually did toss Danny out to sea. Anyway, what happened was that because Don could no longer do his ventriloquist act, he got put into a couple of sketches and got big laughs, as only Don Knotts could do. He created sketches with comedian Red Ford and later Mike Shaughnessy. He began developing a kind of nervous character that he would become famous for on Steve Allen, and a little bit even similar to Barney Fife. Don also helped out with the writing for the main show, as well as the presentations we did at hospital wards and stuff. The closing number for the main show was called My Pinup Girl. Of course, there were no women in our outfit, so various guys would dress up as a pinup girl. Each one would come out, and finally Don would come out in his grand physique in all 110 pounds and bring the house down with great laughter. He developed a great ability to play women, stooges, doctors, anything. He was a great advantage to our show to have Don with all these different characters and not be stuck with his ventriloquist act. He had not assimilated, or had he not assassinated his own dummy, he might have been a ventriloquist for a long time. And who knows what that would have done, what would have happened or not happened. Would there have ever been a Barney Fife? After we were discharged, Don and I kept bumping into each other. I was doing Broadway shows and he was doing his radio show. Don played old-timer Wendy Wells on the Bobby Benson and the Barbie Bar. No, B-Bar-B. There's, I didn't get it. Bobby Benson and the B-Bar-B. That's where he played Wendy Wells. And we'd often visit with one another. Sometime later, I was going to a play in Boston, and after my wife, actress Jean Bradley, had unexpectedly passed away, Don was also in Boston doing No Time for Sergeants. Let me tell you, the compassion Don showed me in those days was incredible. I'll never forget it. He really was such a kind, caring, interesting person. He wanted to share my problems. He was a true friend. Well, we both eventually found our way to Los Angeles and found work, and we stayed in touch. Don introduced me to Aaron Rubin, and along the way, I did a couple of Andy Griffith segments. We kept crossing paths. I was in several of Don's movies. I have a picture of Don, which is still on my wall, that Don inscribed, "Long may our paths cross." And that's true. We kept running into each other for a lifetime. Even in his last years, we would see each other at various times, such as when we played the penny ante poker. He didn't see very well, you know. I'd say, "Don, I think you got straight there." And Don would say, "You think so? I'll raise." He was unassuming and modest and hilarious all at the same time. Don was more than a comic. He was more than an actor. He was one of the kindest hearts I've ever known. As humble as he was also a magnet for crowds. No matter where we were, New York, Philadelphia, Chicago, or wherever, he was like a Pied Piper, you know, by accident. He didn't seek it out or encourage it. It just happened. We'd walk down the street and people would follow him. He was a phenomenon. Talk about American idols. Don Knotts absolutely was. And I miss him. So the Rewind Watchers Club extends our thanks to Al Checco for sharing these wonderful memories of his friend Don Knotts, especially about their Army days, which haven't been widely reported on through the years. Folks, that is our story. And I want to thank Randy Turner for making me think of this story. I don't think I've ever covered it here on the podcast, and it is definitely a great one. So Al Checco. So the podcast name is Al Checco. So people are going, what is it, Al Checco? Oh, there you go. Now, you know, I guess, and I can't probably say that, but this is the rest of the story. So folks, hey, I hope you have enjoyed this. I know I always do, and I would love to hear from you. So please take a minute and head over to twochairsnowaiting.com and click the contact button. You'll see how to call me at 888-684-8415 or email me, floyd@imayberry.com. Let me know what you thought. If you were at the Mayberry meetup, please give me a call at 888-684-8415 and leave your comments. 888-684-8415. I'd like to hear what you thought about the meetup. Folks, until next time, have a great week, and we'll see you here on Two Chairs.